He says, we are sheep. A flock of sheep. And it's not a compliment, is it? Sheep really are stupid. They get lost. They are weak. They are vulnerable to attack. And all the way through the Bible, a lot of times, the Bible says, we are sheep. Spiritually speaking, we're like sheep. You know the Messiah, "Oh, we like sheep have gone astray," in that great choral piece. It's all the way through. Now, before we follow Jesus, we're like sheep without a shepherd. So we're lost, we're vulnerable, we're in terrible danger from all the predators. But when we follow Jesus, we don't stop being sheep. We are still sheep. But we have a shepherd. We have Jesus, the good shepherd. And he protects us from wolves. He feeds us with what we need to grow and to flourish. And he leads us to pasture. But I guess the question is, Jesus ascended into heaven. He's not on earth now. How does he shepherd us then, right now? How does he do it? Well, he does it through under-shepherds, through church leaders. And that's what we've arrived at in this series we're doing on church. Church leaders. What are church leaders for? So that's what we're going to think about. Anyway, the Apostle Paul went all over the place, around the Mediterranean, and he started these churches everywhere. And everywhere he went, he would appoint elders before he moved on, appoint leaders. And these two readings that we've just heard are his final message to those leaders, to different ones, to a group of leaders and to Timothy, his protege. And they're his final word to them as he goes to another place. And I want us to learn three things, to know three things from these passages about leaders and what leaders do in church. And the first is, leaders must watch out for wolves. Have a look at verse 29. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. Now, right now, or at least for the last few months, up on the Downs, there have been a lot of signs on gates and stiles like this one. Have you seen those? Your dog can scare or harm farm animals, so keep it on a lead is the upshot. And that's because, isn't it? Because your dog, if you let it, would love to go and chase all those sheep and frighten them. But your poodle is nothing compared to a wolf, is it? It's nothing compared to a wolf. A wolf is a lean, mean, sheep-killing machine. And Paul says, the wolves are coming. The wolves are coming. And they just want to devour up Christians. And what he means is there is a spiritual enemy. There is a real enemy, the devil, and all the spiritual forces that are with him. And what they want is for Christians to fall and Christians to fail and give up. They want Christians to follow false gospels, and they want Christians to stop trusting in Jesus alone and start either trusting in themselves or trusting in something else, some other false gospel, fake version of Jesus. And these enemies, these spiritual enemies, influence and use human teachers to teach false gospels and to try and corrupt and destroy the church. I want to give you two examples this morning. And the first is a guy called Arius. He was around in the 3rd and 4th century AD. So a long time ago. Should we have the next picture? Here is a picture that may or may not look like Arius. And he taught that Jesus, the Son of God, was created by God, the Father. So what he was saying is Jesus is not fully God. And he even wrote these catchy jingles, which everyone would go around singing, to say, Jesus is created. And it would sort of convey the message to everyone that Jesus is created, he's not truly God. Now, I guess that doesn't really sound like a big deal, but it is huge. It is huge, and it really was at the time. If Jesus was not God, then his death and resurrection could not save us. It could not be enough. And so God, right, you have the next slide, God raised up another man called Athanasius. And he rose up to preach the truth against Arius and protect the church from this wolf called Arius and his false gospel. Now, that's hundreds of years ago, but did you know that that heresy, the Arian heresy, that Jesus is not fully God, is still around? If you ever speak to a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon, they teach the same thing. They say Jesus is not fully divine. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be friends with Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons, or that we should be rude to them and slam the door in their face when they come knocking. But we do need to be really careful and be warned that they have a false gospel that is really dangerous. And so we mustn't listen to it. The second example is from within the Church of England. And the issue for today is marriage and sexuality, isn't it? That is the kind of big headline issue of the day. Now, the Bible says that God made us, and God made marriage and sex to bless and order our society. And he made it to be between one man and one woman for life. And he said the only place for sex, the only right and good place for sex, is within that kind of marriage, between one man and one woman for life. And I'm sure you've noticed that our culture doesn't agree, does it? And there are vocal people within the Church of England who want us to listen to the culture instead of the Bible. And right now, the Church of England has produced a resource which for the whole church to think through, called Living in Love and Faith. And it's all about discussing these issues and trying to work out whether the beliefs and practices of the Church of England need to change because the culture has changed. Now, I would say, right now, this is really important. We want to love and welcome anyone and everyone into the church. We want to hold out the good news of Jesus to anyone and to everyone. And anyone can know forgiveness. Anyone can know the grace of Jesus. But Jesus calls everyone to repent and believe. And that means no longer saying, I know what is right and I know what is wrong, but saying, God, you know what is right and I want to follow you instead of me. And so for us right now, it would be wrong and dangerous to listen to our culture in this area of marriage and sexuality rather than the Bible. Now, that is a huge can of worms. I know that. There's a big can of worms, and I've opened it up right in the middle of a sermon, and you may never have heard this before. And so I really don't want you to go away from here and stew about it. Please come and talk to me if you are worried about things or if you have an issue with that. I would really love to talk to you about it. Either afterwards or at another time. The second reading, have a look down again, verse 3. Paul says, "For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear." There always have been wolves, and there always will be wolves within and without the church. And we need leaders to watch out. What else do leaders do then? Could we have the next slide, please? Preach the word. Look at the end of verse 1 of the second reading notes. Paul says to Timothy, he says, "I give you this charge, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke and encourage with great patience and careful instruction." Preach the word. I wonder if we forget, I think we do forget, just what is going on when we hear the Bible read out loud in church and we hear it preached. Have you read the first chapter of the Bible ever before? Or do you remember it? The constant refrain throughout that chapter is, "And God said, and there was." And God said, and there was. And so, for instance, there was just darkness and chaos, and God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Or another one, that God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place and let dry ground appear." And it was so. And imagine you could watch that. What is it that makes light appear from darkness? What is it that causes the oceans to split and the ground to rise up from it and the mountains towering up through the water? What is it that causes that amazing thing to happen? It's the word of God. God speaks and it happens. God speaks, the universe comes into being. God's word makes it happen. And that is the same word that we hear when it's read out, that we hear preached on Sunday mornings. And we hear it as it's proclaimed. It's a huge thing that happens. It weighs heavily on me when I'm preaching, when I'm preparing. This is the word that gives life. This is the word that brings faith out of people. This is the word that changes you and me. And so Paul says, leaders have to preach it faithfully. That's how we protect against wolves. That's what Athanasius did. He preached the word. And it's how we grow. So what's that got to do with us? I guess, I know you're tired on a Sunday morning. And I'm sure you've had a busy weekend, and I know that you get this lovely 20-minute slot in the middle of the service where you don't have to say anything or do anything, and you think, I can let my mind wander for a bit, maybe have a little nap. But please, listen. Please listen. This is the most important thing you will hear all week. And it's not because Louis or I are particularly inspiring or have something important to say ourselves, but because the word which we are proclaiming is God speaking to you. This is an encounter with God and renewing you. So please listen, and please also pray for us. We long to proclaim the word faithfully and powerfully to you and hold up the Lord Jesus in front of you so you can worship him. But we are fallen and we need Jesus to equip us and empower us to do it. So please pray for us. Leaders, watch out for wolves. Leaders, preach the word. And lastly, and much, much more briefly, leaders, lead by example. At the beginning of the first reading, Paul says in verse 8, he says, "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." And then the second reading, verse 5, Paul says, "But you keep your head in all situations." Actually, the word is a bit more like, it's more like be sober when everyone else is going crazy. Be sober. Leaders don't need to be superhumans. They don't need to be morally perfect, but they do need to live out the Christian life consistently. They need to be people who are submitting every part of life to Jesus and not openly rejecting God in any area. And leaders need to be depending on Jesus' grace when we fail. And leaders need to be the first to repent. And the first to go to the cross and ask for his grace. It's a heavy burden on leaders, but what about for everyone else? Well, it's not in our reading today, but 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." When I was in my 20s, I was at a church, and there was a leader of this church who I used to meet up with him to read the Bible together and to share and to pray together. And I really, really admired this guy. And I really wanted to be like him. He was prayerful. He was humble and gentle. And And as I knew him and as I saw him live, I could see that he was following Christ consistently. Obviously not perfectly, but not like a hypocrite either. He was consistently following Jesus. And through my friendship with him, I grew more like him in certain ways. And those ways were more like Christ. He was leading by example. That's what it means. And I was following. So why do we need leaders then? Because we're a flock of sheep. Jesus is our true shepherd, and he's raised up under shepherds to lead, to watch for wolves, to preach the word, and to lead by example. Let's come to him now and pray to him. Father, we thank you for your son Jesus. Thank you that he is the good shepherd. He lays down his life for the sheep. Thank you that he loves us. You love us with an unconditional, amazing, undeserved love. Thank you that you want us to grow, that you protect us, that you lead us, that you speak to us and change us. And thank you that you do it through humans, through other people, through leaders. Please equip our leaders to be godly leaders. And please help all of us to respond, to follow Jesus, and to be encouraged, and to follow the example of our leaders. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.